T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
To be very, very honest with you, Jack used to be, did a lot of this negotiation. You know, I'm coaching the football team. We have a very unique model. I've said it 1,000 times, and I'll say it again, and I don't mind saying it. Jack and I work together. We're all in charge of different things. So relative to how a general manager's position has been defined in the past may not be exactly the way we do it. That makes sense. You know, I coach and I work with Jack, and he works extremely hard with the things that he's in charge of. He oversees a lot of different things, from medical to training. He works on contracts with Kevin, and you know, we work together. It's a team. It's a team, and hopefully we can win and prove that that's the way to do it.
It's Bill O'Brien talking about the new organizational structure. Jack Easterby did a lot. He's making no bones about it. And John, you think when you hear the trust that Bill O'Brien has in Jack Easterby as lunchtime begins here on In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Lots going on. Trade deadline with the Astros going on. You also got the Rockets in action tonight and the Texans 10 days away. But when you hear that, J-Lo, you kind of think it's a good thing. And
I
need you to explain yourself, because not only are you going to have to explain yourself, you're also going to have to pour one out for something you've been saying around here
yeah.
for a long, long time, my friend.
I'm happy to do that. Bill O'Brien said that this morning, talking about getting these negotiations done with Zach Cunningham, and we'll hear from Zach Cunningham in a little bit as well. But here's the way I would put it, Landry. No matter what, in just a matter of maybe a year, maybe 2 years, hopefully sooner, but within a year, Texans fans are going to be happy, no matter what. And the reason is, they're going to be happy.
That's a bold statement, J-Lo.
Yeah, Texans fans
are... bold statement to make. Say that one more time.
Within a year, maybe two, Texans fans are going to be very happy. Very happy. I'll add to it, okay?
Go ahead.
And here's why. They're going to be very happy because Bill O'Brien is going to prove us all wrong. Bill O'Brien and Jack Easterby, after trading DeAndre Hopkins, after the Jadeveon Clowney thing, the Dwayne Brown thing, which wasn't necessarily altogether his, some of the let's just be honest, boneheaded things we've seen on the field, not having a play on fourth down in Kansas City, you know, faking a punt, et cetera. After all that, within a year or two, I can tell you right now, the Texans fans are going to be very happy because they're either going to prove that their way was the right way and they're going to get to a Super Bowl, or they're going to flop completely, fall on their faces collectively. This model doesn't work. You can't have two heads with one guy that's elevated, you know, within 2 years to the highest point in the organization outside of Bill O'Brien. They're gonna flop gloriously, and they're gonna be out of here. So either way, Texans fans are gonna be happy within 2 years. I can promise you right now, you will be happy. And the reason is, you talk about kicking the can down the road, right? I picked up on this, and maybe it's not intentional, but it sure does.
Are we gonna pour one out for this? Is the kicking the can down the theory dead?
It's got to be.
It's dead.
It's got to be dead.
We need some dead music then.
Bill O'Brien got here in 2014, right? With a pretty good squad that had a horrible record, injury-riddled, Kubiak's last year. We all know the story there.
The game of life done changed.
Yeah. They go 9-7 with Ryan Fitzpatrick. And Bill O'Brien knows a lot of reporters that he feeds information to, lets them know exactly what he's feeling. What's up, Albert? whoever it is,
how could it be?
And so the narrative
Somebody
becomes
took my theory from me.
The narrative becomes, you know, I don't know about Fitzpatrick. We'll see. So then we go into 2015. Brian Hoyer is the quarterback. They win the division, lost in the wild card round. Still not quite there. Kick the can down the road again. You know, we got a good squad. I'm the right coach. But if we only had a quarterback, I know. I got an idea. Let's go get Brock Osweiler. All right. Well, now we're talking. We got ourselves Brock Osweiler. Not so much. He was awful. They're still kicking the can down the road.
Why, Brock? Why?
Andre Johnson moves on. Arian Foster moves on. The team starts transitioning. Well, I'm putting my stamp on it. I don't get along with Rick Smith. Let's get a new general manager. We got Brian Gain. All right, so now we're going to really be on to something. Now we're, you know, still kicking that can down the road. Just bear with me. We're going to win. Bear with me. We're going to win. I just need this. Bear with me. I just need that. Bear with me. Brian Gain and I are, what was the term he always used?
Alignment.
Alignment. And then that didn't work out. So what does he do then? Kicks the can down the road some more. I'll tell you what. Let's get ourselves a franchise quarterback. Let's cut bait with Brock Osweiler. You get Deshaun Watson as a rookie, but, you know, he's got him slow-footed a little bit. Starts Tom Savage. That's a debacle. All of a sudden, Brian Gain is out eventually. He becomes the general manager. Here comes Jack Easterby. Now we're talking. This time I really mean it. And you know what, Landry? This time he does really mean it. There is no more kicking the can down the road.
So it's officially dead.
Texans fans are going to be happy with it.
Are you sure?
Texans fans are going to be.
Are you sure?
I'm sure. They're going to be very happy within a year or two. You either win, we're dumb, they're smart, and they're in the Super Bowl, or they're going to flop and they're going to be gone.
Why do you think they're that cutthroat, though?
Because you can't keep Bill O'Brien.
Well, I mean, Marvin Lewis hung around for 10 years. Jason Garrett hung around for damn near 9. Like, is it? Why do you think that they're not going to be able to kick the can down? They're doing it in Jacksonville right now.
Well, that's what their general manager, and, well, I guess they've kept their coach
and
a while,
and their owner
too.
Hasn't shown this much trust. Like, Easterby's out there doing everything.
I'll give you one reason.
B.O.B.'s doing everything. B.O.B. has out-survived 3 GMs. You're telling me he can't survive this with Deshaun Watson as his quarterback and
that's
his sales
why.
Pitch?
You just answered that your own question there. The reason that it's going to be different is because there isn't anyone who doesn't think Deshaun Watson is a top 5 potentially quarterback in the NFL. No one. No one on the planet.
We got to make it clear. Deshaun was drafted by Rick Smith.
Correct.
We got to make that clear.
But he's B.O.B.'s guy, and there's no question what his talent is. Bill O'Brien will not last even if they make the playoffs, but hit that ceiling again the next 2 years. He's gone. He's got to be.
I mean, you're saying he's got to be.
Got to be.
But I'm saying, is he going to be?
I'm saying he's got to be, and they're going to realize that he's got to be.
So if in 2 years there's been no progress, you're saying he's got to be.
They lose in the divisional round this year. They go 9-7 and lose in the first round next year. He's gone. I know it. And
I think he knows it.
And I think he knows it. And I think that even
or
Cal.
Or thinks it.
Even,
or says it.
Even Cal McNair knows it.
Or does he?
So there's good news. I'm
confused.
We've accomplished something today.
No, I'm not going in yet.
We've accomplished something today,
Figgy.
No,
you've accomplished. I'm not
within
there yet.
2 years.
No. I think Bill O'Brien might. I think I might be talking.
There's no way.
I think
no
I might
way.
Be talking to my grandkids about Bill O'Brien, the coach.
Within 2 years, Texans fans, one way or another, are going to be very happy. They either hated Bill O'Brien and he's gone, or they hated him and they were proved wrong and Bill O'Brien got him to a Super Bowl.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's your mark right there.
No more kicking the can down the road.
It's easy to remember this. It's August 31st. It's going to be
go.
About a week before
another anniversary.
A week before the 2022 season, or 2022 season, we'll be talking about this, and we'll say John Lopez said this. RIP to the kick in the can down the road theory. I don't know, man. I could see this not working, and them just getting to start all over. I really, really do. I think I could see this. I could see them acting like this is a new thing right now. That's my thing, is I feel like this chapter, the Easterby O'Brien chapter. I actually think. They can say that this is really the first time that it's been this way. But I think as soon as Brian Gain went away, I think these two guys were close. I mean, these two guys.
You could see.
I mean, let's be honest. Like, and I would say this to their face if we were in the same room. And I don't mean any disrespect by this. When Brian Gain was fired, it's not like Jack Easterby just said, oh, my gosh, I got to step it up here. I'm pretty sure that Jack Easterby probably thought that this would be the – I mean, I don't even know how shocked it would have been. So I – But it's hard for me to sit here and say that these guys aren't.
But you get the point.
No, I get the point.
There's no way.
You're saying how it should be.
You're saying how it should be.
I agree with how it should be. That's not always how things go around here.
No. I understand that. I understand that. And I just laid out exactly why the things have gone that way.
There's many times you could have laid out why, but and we get proven wrong.
Because there was always plausible that he was right. Okay, let me put it that way. Maybe this will clear it up. It was plausible that Fitzpatrick. Come on now, it's Fitzpatrick. It was plausible that Hoyer. It was plausible that he and Rick Smith couldn't get along, even though Rick Smith drafted Deshaun Watson. It was very plausible that their good relationship with Brian Gaine collapsed. Obviously, we know it was more than plausible that Brock Osweiler was a flop. So he always had plausible deniability that they were really Super Bowl
and AFC
Championship
ready. He could point to someone else.
He could always point at someone else. Can't do it anymore.
Well, what if Bill O'Brien giving Easterby credit for all these moves is just his way of kind of starting to
start kicking it. Yeah, poor
he
Jack.
Wanted that Cunningham extension.
That damn Jack Easterby, man. I never liked that guy. He starts doing what he did with others. No, you can't do it. It's done.
I'm not disagreeing with that's how it should be.
Yeah.
I just don't know that that's how it's going to be. Let's go to Steve. Steve, you're on In the Loop. Go ahead.
Hey, guys. John, I absolutely love you, but I think you're missing what's right in front of your face. This organization has had no accountability from the get-go. I've been a season ticket holder from day one. I sold last year, and why? Because this ownership, even though you said everything that was completely right and correct, they will not hold him accountable. They love this guy, and he still fills all the seats. So there's no way that what you say is going to come true when they fail, and they're going to fail, and he's still going to be there. And a year and a half from now, you're going to go, it's going to happen again. I know it will. It's not going to happen. This is not an accountable franchise, never will be, and the son is worse than the father. It's going to be like this forever.
I'd appreciate that
Steve
call, Steve.
With the bat
a little walk away there.
Whoa, Steve! Thanks for the call.
A little walk away line there. No, that's a fine opinion to have there, and I appreciate the kind words, Steve. But there is no way you can tell your season ticket holders this time I really mean it. You know, after 8 seasons of not getting where you want to do, and by the way, that'll be going into the fifth year.
Had 3 GMs.
Of Deshaun Watson. When did it? 17, 18, 19, 20? Yeah. Fifth year. You can't say.
Time's flying. It does kind of seem weird that we're going into Deshaun's fourth.
Yeah. Actually, it'd be going into the sixth if they don't go in the next 2 years. You can't.
That's the post-rookie deal, too.
Right.
That's the new contract.
You can't say, you know what? I think Bill O'Brien's on to something now. It only took 8 years. You can't do that. There's no way, not even this organization and this unending love they have for Bill O'Brien.
I think my man has a point, though.
No, I get his point, but there's no way. You can go sixth year of Deshaun Watson's.
No, this is logical. What you're saying is logical. Yeah. I'm not disagreeing. You don't have to defend the logic. The logic is clear. Nobody disagrees with you. The disagreement is logic going to be used there at that stadium we're looking at right now? Right there off of Kirby. Well, that's the argument. Your logic makes perfect sense, OG.
Well, hopefully, they just go ahead and get to a Super Bowl.
Well, then good. That would be great.
And then, again, my point will still be valid. Everyone will be happy. Every Texans fan will be very, very happy. I'm saying one way or another, within 2 years, every fan's going to be very, very happy.
There you go. That's the OG Win or John lose. Lopez with you here on Sports Radio 610. Trade deadline going on in baseball. Rockets in action tonight. 10 days away from Texans. Versus the Kansas City Chiefs. Zach Cunningham, much richer on Monday than he was heading into the weekend. We'll hear from one of the most important members of the Houston Texans, fresh off signing on the dotted line, live from NRG next.
Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
All right, there's kind of a theory going around right now. Anytime the Texans have drama with Bill O'Brien, what's the name that appears most on the text line as far as the coach that they should bring in? And I always say it makes no sense. Why would he leave that job for here?
Harbaugh?
No.
Dabo.
Oh, come on now. Of course.
There's a theory going around now that with how college football is going and the direction in which it's heading, where players are going to have their own likeness. It's going to almost turn into like a almost more chaotic type of NFL. That's the direction it could be going. You got athletic directors and presidents canceling seasons and then wanting to bring seasons back. That 2021 is when Dabo finally becomes a coach in the NFL, and he does so with Trevor Lawrence in Jacksonville. Dabo Swinney to Jacksonville, Trevor Lawrence to Jacksonville. It finally happens.
Well, now I just kind of threw up in my mouth a little bit. I don't see that happening.
Now, it will be. It is worth noting. That if the season concludes and Jacksonville is the worst team in the league and they have the number one pick, they could line up Dabo right then because they would know for a fact that they're going to have Trevor Lawrence.
Right.
And then Dabo could come in there and start immediately.
Yeah, and there would be no secret about who he's going to draft.
What if he said, screw it? You know what? I kind of like Fields out of Ohio State a little more than this kid. he's got a little more it factor to him.
Yeah, he just seems to be smarter. I don't think normally that a coach like Dabo Swinney would ever want to put a coach in the NFL.
An elite college job is better than an NFL job. I don't care what anyone says. If it were me, you're making just as much money, you're a god, your shelf life's there. It's not really as much of a year-to-year league. You can build dynasties. If you got one of the 6, 7, 8, whatever marquee jobs in college, I think you're in a perfect position.
It's a better job for me. I'll just keep it simple. Because if you're good, it's a lifetime contract in essence. I mean, guys like Bob Stoops, Mac Brown, I mean, you're in 10, 12 years. That's an eternity if you're not named Bill O'Brien. that's an eternity for a head coach to stay in one place like that. The problem is coaches are competitors, and they want to get to the highest level. I mean, it's always boggled the mind, but it always happens. Some great college coach, even the greatest ever, Spurrier, left college and flopped in the NFL.
He was bad.
He was bad. So, but they're competitors. They're
also started trusting his college guys too. So Dabo just bringing in all his college guys.
Yeah, well, that's true. But you know, Dabo should never leave Clemson. Some of these guys should never leave. Urban Meyer should have never left. Well, I know there was other factors, but you know, guys like that, they have in essence lifetime contracts or 10, 12-year contracts. But they still just feel drawn to the NFL because it's the highest level.
You're getting a lot of support and a lot of disagreement, which means it's a hell of a take about the death of the Bill O'Brien kicking the can down the street theory. You think it is officially done in the next couple of years? Texans are either going to Bill O'Brien's either going to prove a lot of people wrong, or the Texans are going to have to move on from Jack and Bill.
I think it is if only because what is Cal McNair and the Houston Texans, what are they going to sell? If this happens, what happened the last few years happens the next 2 years, they just hit that ceiling, they get ousted in the, make the playoffs, but get ousted in the first round or maybe the divisional round, they don't get any, what are they selling to the public after 8 seasons of Bill O'Brien? What, seriously, that's a question. It's not, I'm not being, you know, like what could you tell me if you're Cal McNair? After 8 years of banging your head of hit on the top of that ceiling, or the bottom of the ceiling, what could you tell me that makes me say, okay, I'm buying it this year? They will go further.
Well, I would. Can I ask a question to your question?
Yeah.
I know you hate when I do that, but
it's all right.
What kind of owner do you think Cal McNair is? Because we don't know. He's relatively new to this type of situation, so I think
I don't think it matters what kind he is. What can you tell me after 8 years of every time you're banging your head against the ceiling and not getting any further, and you're telling me in year 9 to go ahead and pony up?
I'm just saying there's a lot of owners who have given their coaches, their GMs, a lot of wiggle room. You can go, like Marvin Lewis was the Bengals coach for 10 years. There's some owners who are cutthroat, who don't mind changing coaches every other year or keep it moving. What, do you think Cal McNair is cutthroat enough to where Bill O'Brien, who he's trusted this much, who his father, rest in peace, trusted this much, do you think Cal McNair is the kind of guy that 2 years from now, if Easterby and Bill O'Brien are still talking about the culture and, you know, all this stuff, and let's say the Texans haven't gotten where they want to get, Do you think Cal McNair has the coconuts to make the move that you're saying he needs to make?
See, I get your point. You know, is he going to be able to be, you know, someone that he clearly has built a relationship with over all these years and has trusted and now trust Jack Easterby? Is he going to have it in him to fire that dude? I don't know how you can have it in you not to. I mean, at some point, these decisions are made for you. You know, you say, hey, Bill, I love you, bud. I mean, hey, Jack, I love you, bud. Because you can't tell me, you know, that you can get any further if you don't do it for 8 straight years in the NFL. You can't. There's no selling it.
Do you think Bill O'Brien knows this?
Do
you think
he has? No, I absolutely do. He knows this? I think we're seeing it in his actions.
You think this is why he's finally making it clear that this is all in, this is the situation, this is what we got?
Yes, and I also think you're seeing it and kind of make it relative to today's news in the contracts that he's given out. They have lined 3 linebackers with $50 million contracts. And Bill O'Brien, that's an indicator that Bill O'Brien understands, you know, screw it, I'm in. You know, because if I don't get it done, I'm out. Obviously, Zach Cunningham is a player that deserved what he got. You know, who knows about McKinney? Who knows about Merciless at this point? But you got 3 linebackers with 50. That's why I think he's going to open the checkbook and say, what do you want, Deshaun? Let's just get this thing done.
Now, you know my number one rule of journalism when stuff is going on with organizations.
Follow the moolah?
Follow the money is always what I say should be done. And it is interesting that based on your theory, the two-year theory, the money really lines up with where you're at. Because mm-hmm. there's a lot of guys on this contract that are guaranteed money, and not just this year, but then 2021. And then there's easy outs. Whitney Merciless, you can get out of his contract easy after – the 2021 season. Tunsil, there's all kinds of dead cap.
Kenny Stills.
On his. Kenny Stills is going to be a free agent.
Will
but
Fuller.
Even like the Eric Murrays, those type of guys, and the Randall Cobbs, those guys are guaranteed money 2 years from now, and then you can get out of them. So the money does line up to that. I just think your argument has logic. I mean, it has logic. I don't think anyone can disagree with how it should be, assuming that they don't take that next step. It's just I think there's a lot of loopholes, and you're seeing it on the text line right now, 713-572-4610. There's a lot of media types. You're hearing it right now in your car on the radio.com app. I'm talking about myself that are just skeptical as to as logical of a plan as that seems and as logical of a mindset you have there, that's what's going to happen and that's what's going to be put into practice.
Oh, look, I mean, as I mentioned, they have a relationship. They've been tight, and this is not going to be easy. But Bill O'Brien's going to make it easy for Cal McNair or whomever, if that's the route. Again, we're all hoping, you know, my whole point is you're going to be happy one way or another. Texans fans who have been incredibly frustrated and angered with Bill O'Brien, at least take solace in the fact that within 2 years, you're going to be happy. You're either going to have a Super Bowl appearance or you're going to have Bill O'Brien gone.
I also think this is your team for 2 years because of where the money is. Right. So you're not going to have a first-round pick, second-round pick, not going to have a ton of cap space.
Which that also feeds into it.
That feeds into it. So it does add to your two-year plan. This squad that you're going to see in 10 days against Kansas City, for better or worse, there could be some changes. There's some guys that don't have the guaranteed money. But for the most part, this is your squad for 2 years. Mm-hmm. And according to the OG, John Lopez, you're going to be happy no matter what. It's just a matter of whether or not Bill O'Brien is a part of things. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you on Reaction Monday. We're going to hear from Zach Cunningham very shortly. Also going to hear from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who they traded someone, they released someone, they continue to tank. We'll hear Doug Marrone face the media types next.
Live from the Twin Peaks studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker.
4 years, 58 milli. Zach Cunningham just got leading tackler for the Texans last year, leading solo tackles in the AFC, a guy that's needed to get his deal in the same draft class as Deshaun Watson. We think Watson's likely next. We'll keep an eye on that. We got you covered here at Sports Radio 610, 10 days away from Texans Chiefs. But let's hear from the man who just signed on the dotted line, Zach Cunningham, a key part of the Houston Texans in 2020 and moving forward. Here's Zach Cunningham live at NRG talking about that new moolah.
What was it like for you? What did it mean to you to get this deal done?
Oh, yeah, it definitely meant a lot to me. Just when they got word back that we finally got the deal done, I was just very excited. A lot of, you know, just having to take it all in, was that was crazy enough for me. And then when I was able to call my family and, you know, give them the news.
Zach, what do you feel like the message is from the organization to its players when they take care of a guy like you in this situation? They didn't have to do it now. They could have waited, but they did it now. What do you think the message is there?
Just from their standpoint, being able to lock me in, just kind of told me that, you know, they have a great amount of trust in me. They believe in me, believe what I can do for the program. And the sentiment's the same for me. I believe that I have a lot to give to the program.
Zach, when something like this happens, it can be a life-changing moment. It can be generational wealth. Like when something like that happens, all of a sudden, you know, your whole, you know, financial portfolio, you know, immediately changes, and kind of as that sinks in, you think about, you know, what you can do for your family and for yourself for the rest of your life. And I have a follow up.
Oh yeah, yeah. It's definitely crazy. I wouldn't have imagined, you know, growing up that I'd be in this position to be able to talk about this. So, I mean, it's definitely going to be some conversation with my family, you know, my team that I have around me with Athletes First and my financial advisor.
And Zach, to be the third highest paid inside linebacker in the NFL, you know, for them to make that statement about how much they feel about you, what do you feel like that says about your game and kind of where you stand, you know, with all the other linebackers? I know you were a Pro Bowl alternate last year, and just kind of your status in the NFL. Thank you.
For me, it's just amazing to be in this position. I have a lot of people to thank for that. You know, the McNair family, you know, they having them have their trust and support in me. And, you know, of course, Coach O'Brien, Jack Easterby, Athletes First, Kyle McCarthy, my agent, who, you know, helped to hammer the deal down. My family, everyone else that, you know, helped to get me here. So it's definitely a big experience for me. I know a lot of people have helped me to get to this point.
Did you have kind of an oh wow moment? And if you get, I'm gonna have a follow. Did you have kind of an oh wow moment when this happened? And you thought about what's the first thing you're gonna do? Maybe help take care of your family, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I definitely had that oh wow moment. That, like I said, when I first got the call, I was, you know, very excited. So I think I don't have any specifics yet as to what I'm gonna do, but it's definitely a lot of stuff's gone through my mind. You know, from where I've came from, what my family's gone through since I'm growing up. Definitely a lot of things that I know I'll be able to do now that I'm happy about.
Okay, now a non-contract question.
Can
you talk about the comfort that you have now in playing with Benardrick McKinney in the years you guys have been together now?
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely got a lot of comfort. Which each year we've gotten a lot better, both of us as individuals and as a duo. And I feel like we've been able to grow that since I got here. And, you know, basically feed off each other's energy, you know, so that we don't even have to tell each other. We don't have to actually say anything. That we both just have, you know, that know what each other's thinking type deal.
What was it about last year? It seemed like you took a big jump forward. What was it either that clicked or that just helped you have a much better season last year and take another step forward?
I guess that came with a confidence, you know, getting more in tune with the defense. More belief in myself and what I'm able to do out there on the field.
Are you going to continue to be responsible for buying all the outfits that you guys wear as linebackers?
we're still talking about that. We I don't know if we're going to restart that up or not.
For you guys, what do you think will be key to kind of just being more successful defending passes over the middle of the field this year than you were last year?
Better communication on defense. You know, everybody has a job to do, and you know, you got to know what the other guy's doing around you. So that, I definitely think communication is going to play a big part in that.
Zach, when receiving such a nice contract like you received, what does it say to the people back home where you come from in Alabama? Let them know that, you know, that you made it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, definitely like when I come from back in Pennsylvania, and we didn't have too many people that's made, you know, make it to this point. So I definitely feel like that's, you know, encouraging for like a lot of younger people out, you know, back home. Knowing that they can, I mean, get to this point too.
Zach, you've obviously had a lot of wonderful moments as an athlete, high school, college, now pro. Where does this moment stack up for you in your career as a football player?
Man, I would definitely have to put this at the top for me.
What are some things you want to do in the future? What are some goals now that you've got this? You're going to be here a long time. What are things you want to accomplish in the future in terms of your own individual goals, team goals, things like that?
I mean, for me, I'm just, I've said it before, just continuous improvement for my play. Like I said, there's plays I know I've left out there, much more plays I'm able to make. So being able to continue with that and being able to push forward and making those type of plays that I know I should have made that I'm able to make.
And one fun question. If there's just any kind of fun purchase, something you said, you know what, I always wanted to do this, what would it be? Or would it be something like, you know, you'd want to do for family or just something like, you know, for yourself? What are some things you would do now that you have?
So I know I was talking with the LBs. We had this idea of maybe getting like doom buggies or something like that. So but it might be something we do.
Well, Zach, who do you pattern your game after? You are like so relentless and so aggressive on the field. Who did you watch growing up, or who do you pattern your game after?
Oh yeah, I've gotten that question. Growing up, I didn't really have a certain player that I really looked up to as far as like my position or anyone that I patterned my game after. It was just me, you know, wanting to play football, me enjoying the game, and just going out there and doing what I do.
Zach, this news, of course, is all over the place now. If you could speak to Texans fans, what would you like to tell them?
Thank you for your continued support. You've always had my back since I've gotten here. I continue to see that, you know, with the fans, and I feel like we have the best fans in the NFL. So I hope that I can show you that I'm worth what they gave me. I'm going to continue to go ball out for the Six.
There we go, Zach Cunningham. A lot of mush going on there, but hey, yeah. When you get that 4-year 58, feel pretty good about yourself.
Can't believe someone from Alabama actually made it in this world. What the hell was that? Made it sound like he was a basketball player from Panama or something, you know? It's like, what does this say? Who was? I hope it wasn't a good friend.
It was Big Sarge.
And oh, okay. Well, yeah,
it was Big Sarge.
That makes it. And a little more. Whatever.
Letting people from Alabama know you made it.
Yeah. Because no one from Alabama ever makes it.
Players born in Alabama. Got it. Here you go. You ready?
How many? Just give me the number.
You want active NFL players?
Sure.
Active NFL players from Alabama right now, before last season, mm-hmm. 73.
Oh, that's pretty good. That's 73 that have made it.
Phillip Rivers, Julio Jones, Marcel Darius, C.J. Mosley, A.J. McCarron, D. Ford, Trey Flowers.
Good gracious.
Jameis Winston, O.J. Howard, Zach Cunningham.
There you go. There you go.
Kerryon Johnson. Titus Howard.
He's a barrier breaker is what he is.
Let's hear from Doug Marrone. Doug Marrone made a trade and a release. Yannick Ngakoue traded. Leonard Fournette released. Minutes after the news came down this morning that Leonard Fournette had been released, Doug Marrone met with the media types. Tried to keep it loose, but then it was time for business. Mm-hmm. Here's Doug Marrone talking about those tanking Jacksonville Jaguars in their most recent move.
Pat told me I'm not allowed to have an opening statement because you guys are chomping at the bit. So Tad reminds me of like the brother on the movie Weird Science. I'm just going to show my age. Wow. You probably never even seen the film. You seen the movie Weird Science? Yes or no?
Thumbs no, up. I have not seen the movie.
See, it must be an age thing, you know?
The link for the book and movie club will go out this afternoon, guys, but we'll go ahead and get started with the press conference here.
Yeah, Doug, why trade Leonard Fournette 2 weeks before? Why dump Leonard Fournette 2 weeks before the season opener?
Well, I think, you know, what happened was is I tried to challenge everyone, coaches, scouts, that we were going to have to make good decisions on what's best for the team. And let's not go ahead and say, well, because someone did something before, maybe we'll get the same type of results. Or we exhausted, you know, all trade opportunities. We weren't able to get anything there. So I just felt that, you know, now we can, you know, work on the team and the plan and get ourselves ready for the season.
They've got to be tanking in 2019 or 2020. I mean, how can you just address that, please?
You know, if that's the case, then, you know, the realization is if that happens, then, you know, I'm not going to be here.
Thanks, Doug. Appreciate it.
Yeah. No problem.
I'm just trying to get a clarification. So you feel that from what you have right now as a young oriented team, particularly with your running back room, that you felt that he didn't fit for what you're looking for this season as a team, as far as what you, I mean, what do you mean by that?
What do I mean by that? I felt like I did what's best for the team.
Right.
I just feel like the skill set of the guys that we have being used the right way will be able to give us more production and give us a better opportunity to win games. That's exactly what I feel and exactly what I've seen on tape.
You said that you pretty much exhausted your trade opportunities. Like you guys wouldn't have considered a seventh round pick to trade him?
I mean, that's a question that, you know, obviously Dave can answer more involved in. My question was, you know, can we get any value? And it was we couldn't get any. So we couldn't get anything.
Now the question is, where does Leonard Fournette go? I think that Leonard Fournette going to Tennessee makes sense for him. I think it makes sense for the Titans. I know the Titans got a rookie running back out of Appalachian State that can do some things that Derrick Henry can't do, 5'10". But I think they need to ease the load that Derrick Henry carries. I think that Leonard Fournette, it's not in his best interest to sign a one-year deal and go to a place where they're going to run him into the ground. I think buying into a winning culture and staying in the Southeast would be good for Leonard Fournette. So I think if you could get a 1-2 punch of Derrick Henry and Leonard Fournette and then mix in the scat back a little bit, I think Tennessee makes sense for Leonard Fournette. I think it makes sense for all parties involved.
It does. I'm not so sure they're going to get the chance, though. He's going to have to go through waivers, and there's at least one team that I think is going to finish with a worse record than the Titans and is going to maybe take a run at him, and that's the Pittsburgh Steelers. I think the Steelers would make a lot of sense. Got Big Ben. You got a compliment to Connor. Who knows where he's going to end up? We can speculate on that and kind of, you know, read between the lines and project where we think he might end up. What do you think this means, though? Do you think this was an eye-opener for Leonard Fournette? Not the fact that he didn't survive in Jacksonville and didn't get along in Jacksonville, but that nobody wanted him? They couldn't even get a sixth-round draft pick for him?
Well, I think it's just kind of the contract situation, right? Like, well, if you don't want to commit to him long-term. Yeah. Now, but as far as, like, a sixth or something like that, that seems a little bit different, doesn't it? Like, that seems like something that would be interesting. I would be interested in that if I were a team, but maybe they just knew there wasn't going to be a market for him. Running backs are in a different spot. Just look at Jacksonville's team now compared to the 2017 team. I mean, they are absolutely just it's not even the same thing.
It's an absolute mess. You think you got problems here? You think you've got frustrations here over the years? How'd you like to be a Jacksonville Jaguar fan? Let me give you some first round draft picks of the Jacksonville Jaguars, okay? And by the way, keep in mind that this is a team that drafted Leonard Fournette ahead of Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes because they trusted Blake Bortles. They also drafted him ahead of Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Alvin Kamara, James Conner, Marlon Mack. It was a mess. But these are the first-round picks under Dave Caldwell that the Jaguars have drafted. Blaine Gabbert in 11. And then Justin Blackmon, Luke Jokel, Blake Bortles, Dante Fowler, Jalen Ramsey, and Leonard Fournette in 2017. Those are all first-round draft picks. None of them are still on the team. Every single first-round pick you've had since 2011 is gone. That, you can't. That's not even an opinion that he's not a good general manager. That's a fact. I mean, that's 11. That's not 11. Since 2011, that's 7 first-round draft picks that are no longer around.
I mean, look at their players that are no longer around since 2017.
Yeah, exactly.
Jalen Ramsey, Yannick Ngakoue, A.J. Boye, Calais Campbell, Dante Fowler, you mentioned, Marcel Darius, Malik Jackson, Aaron Colvin, Deshaun Gibson, Barry Church, Telvin Smith. They were all on the 2017 AFC Championship team, and they're gone. And, I mean, it goes back to the pick of Leonard Fournette. You could look at the running backs that were drafted after Leonard Fournette. It's a crazy list. When you also keep in mind that Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes went after Leonard Fournette, that's crazy. Could I interest you in the list of running backs that went after Leonard Fournette in that draft?
I just gave you a few of them. What else you got? You got the whole list?
The whole list of running backs that went after him.
Okay.
Christian McCaffrey, Dalvin Cook, Joe Mixon, Alvin Kamara, Kareem Hunt, James Conner, Tarik Cohen, Marlon Mack, Aaron Jones, Chris Carson.
And the undrafted Austin Eckler. All after him.
But I would say
that's why I'm saying, what is it? He's got to look in the mirror and think, man, I got to change something.
Got a fresh start.
I got to change some things about how I do business.
Well, I think he's kind of doing what a lot of GMs do, or a lot of people trying to CYA cover your ass do, in that I think they're just blaming all this on Tom Coughlin. And really, if you look at when Coughlin got there, that's when they actually went to that AFC Championship. It might have come tumbling down.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it was a couple-year process where they did take that next step. They started trying to run the ball a little bit more. But I think that's the sales pitch that Dave Caldwell is trying to say is, look, trying to clean up Tom Coughlin's mess. Let's just keep it going. That's the situation they got in Jacksonville right now.
It's an absolute mess. No question about it.
What if Jacksonville just comes out and they're like a 8-8 team?
Well, I think that would be awesome if I were a Jaguars fan. But the reason I talk about the running backs, and I talked about those first round picks that are all gone since 2011, which really wasn't that long ago, is because the same guy that you're banking on tanking with is the guy that drafted those guys, and they were inept or they couldn't keep them. So I would feel much better if I were a Jaguars fan if I had anyone else calling the shots, because they might have 7 rookie starters. I was reading this morning. Today, and this I think it was from Pete Prisco, who's really, he lives in Jacksonville, always around that team, knows the team very well. He said they could have 7 rookie starters this year, and then they have 10 picks next year, including what was it, how many in the first 5 rounds? I think
8.
Yeah. They tanking could be right for them. Tanking could be good for the Jacksonville Jaguars.
8 picks in the first 5, yes,
and 7 rookie starters this year. They've got the makings of a nice young core, right, that you can win a lot of games with on rookie contracts. That's my point. But you got some dude that can't draft picking them.
Weird situation.
Yeah.
They're definitely zigging while everyone else is zagging. Let's go around the NFL. It was active in the AFC South, but it was active in the league as a whole. We'll give you the latest. We might hear from Randall Cobb as well. Keep it locked in. The Loop continues next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.